Why doesn't he let you do what you want?
Yeah, I knew. Tell him off. Couldn't get any worse.
Oh, that's rich. Like you guys tell your parents off? Mr. Future Lawyer and Mr. Future Banker?
Okay, so I don't like it any more than you do.
Well, just don't tell me how to talk to my father. You guys are the same way.
All right, all right.
Okay, you've probably been in that same situation. Did you speak up to your parents? And I don't mean just give them a lip, but when you were deciding on your career, think of the career you're in now. How did you get there? Did you get there because you were always passionate, say, about landscape architecture, or you were always passionate about the theater, or you were always passionate about becoming a doctor? Did you get there because it came from inside you? Or did you feel you owed your parents and you had to follow in their footsteps? Notice what's happening with these boys. All three of them, the lawyer-bound boy, the banker-bound boy, and the doctor-bound boy, are all being pushed by aggressive parents. And so it's not their independent decisions. And notice how two of the boys pick on the third one, and they say, you've got to speak up to your father. But they're not doing it themselves. It's easier to be able to look out and to see that others are making the error that you're making rather than to name it for yourself to have ownership of that error. So all three face alternatives. And do they go on automatic pilot out of fear and just say, yes, Dad, or the alternative is, do they say, Dad, I disagree. I'm going to pursue my own goals, and I hope I'll get your, I want to say blessings, I'm not religious, but I hope I'll get your respect over time. I hope I'll earn that, even though I will earn my own respect this way. You know, the other is secondary. So I think these boys are engaging in evasion, and don't do that in your own life. The evasion is pushing something that you know is important. It's on the periphery of your awareness, hovering around the fringes of your mind. You know you need to look at it, whether it's to go to a doctor for a checkup for something, or whether it's going on a career, or dumping a bad relationship, getting out of a bad relationship, as the woman who was put in the trunk by her, in quotes, boyfriend. You don't want to evade. You want to focus your mind on the relevant information that affects your happiness in your life. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. And right before the break, I was talking about a woman who's come to the realization that she just doesn't get along with people. So here is Andrea's question. Hi, Dr. Kenner. I've finally come to the realization that I just don't get along with people. And I'm wondering if it's me and if there's something wrong on my part. Is this a symptom of some kind of depression or a mental problem? Andrea, what if some doctor, not me, but some doctor said to you, yes, you have a mental problem? What implications does that have? Notice your own gut response. You have a clinical depression. You have a mental problem. It would make me feel like I'm defective. I'm defective goods and I can't be changed. They're going to sell me in Job Lot or some discount store. Or that I have some sort of mental illness that can't change. You get these technical sounding terms, major depression, social anxiety, schizoaffective disorder. And what's your gut response? You say, oh my God, I've got it. What if I say it's genetic? I'm a different doctor, and I say it's genetic. Yes, you know, depression runs in your family. Your mother had it. Your uncle had it. Your father had it. Your great-great-great-great-grandmother had it. And you've just got to live with it. Well, that's tragic. And I get very angry when I hear doctors saying things like that, when they tell you it's genetic or it's a biochemical imbalance. Yeah, it could be a biochemical imbalance, but it could be caused by your thinking. So they may be trying to play with dosages and, you know, mess around with that. The upshot of all of these is it makes me feel helpless if I'm the patient or if I'm the person. Even the word patient, it makes me feel like I'm a patient, that I'm sick, I'm diseased, I'm hopeless, and I have to just accept my personality as it is. Well, my approach is very different. If you feel you just don't get along with people, then become a scientist or a detective. An introspective scientist. Learn more about this, in quotes, realization that you have. When did you draw the conclusion in your own mind that I just don't get along with people? What just happened? Was it a painful experience with a friend or a boyfriend or a coworker or a family member that triggered that thought? Get specific. What facts, what evidence do you have that you don't get along with people? And how long has this been going on? Write this down on paper. Then ask yourself a question that many people don't ask. When have I been able to get along with people? Because when we're focused on a negative, it's like a magnet. It collects other negatives in our past and all of the positive facts of times when we did get along with people, when we have had a good friend or when we have had a good relationship. We just brush them off as, well, they don't count. That was just luck or chance. It wasn't luck or chance. Bring them back into the picture. So you want to also look at the character of the people that you're befriending. If you're trying to befriend people who are jealous of you, it is true. You will not get along with those people because what they'll want of you is appeasement. They will, if they're envious, they want to tear you down. So you'll be baffled. You'll be wondering why they don't love your accomplishments. If you just got into college or got a new job or just got married, they will try to be sarcastic and cut you down and tell you it was just a joke. If you're trying to get into the popular group, or so-called popular groups, the ones that designate themselves as that, whether it's drinking, maybe it's an irrational group, drinking, drugging, or gambling, think again. You don't have to befriend those people. If you had problems with a sibling, that often leads people to conclude that I can't get along with people. But how many people do you know who have had perfect sibling relationships? Very few. So you want to figure out what the dynamics were in your sibling relationships that may be still affecting you now and work to change those. Then you need to learn skills. You need to become more active in your friendships. Don't just sit back and expect people to befriend you. You need to learn icebreakers, how to actively listen to people, how to bring values into a relationship. Some people try to befriend other people by complaining. Oh, my aches and pains. And I went into the hairdressers once and this elderly woman came in and for 20 minutes, she just went on and on talking about her arthritis and her diabetes and this ache and that ache and what doctor she had been to. Oh my God, you know, you just want to throw up after this. And maybe if you get, when I get to that age, that's all I'll have to talk about. So I won't want to throw up. I'll want to talk with other people about that. But it's much more important to bring values, not complaints, into our relationships, your achievements, your accomplishments, fun things, and recognizing those wonderful traits in other people. So I recommend not drawing the conclusion that you just don't get along with people. I recommend that you want deeper change. You want to be able to see I can get along with people, and you want to have it based on fact. So I would read the book Mind Over Mood. It's a cognitive therapy book. Cognitive therapy means thinking therapy, thinking how to change the negative emotions you have rationally. And chapter 9 talks about how to identify and change very deep premises. And I also personally recommend reading The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. This is from my own personal experience. I was a very shy kid. Even though on the outside you wouldn't think it, inside I felt very insecure. And I did occasionally go along with what others said because I didn't know how to have a mind of my own. But boy, when I read The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand, both available on my website, drkenner.com, it woke me up. It was the beginning of my life, not the end. And I saw all possibilities. You know, now I'm on radio. I don't feel shy. I wrote a book with another author, a wonderful book on romance, on how to run a great relationship, how to find the right partner, how to make yourself lovable. And you want to make your life interesting. Interesting is the key word. Never give up on yourself. Pick good friends. Never draw the conclusion that you can't have friendships. You want to make yourself lovable and learn how to thoroughly enjoy your life. Also notice that with another person's character is not in your control. So sometimes you'll be betrayed or hurt by people, and there's not much you can do about that, except for not personalize it. Don't make it a self-esteem issue. Coming up, we have Dr. Ann Fletcher, who will be talking about how to get rid of an alcohol problem. So if you know somebody in your life or someone else's, or maybe it's yourself who has an alcohol problem, definitely don't give up on yourself. Many people have changed, they've reached commitment, and they've done it even without AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. There are many other roads to sobriety, to permanent sobriety, permanent change. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner, and you're listening to The Rational Basis of Happiness.
I need to feel important. Instead, I'm living in the shadows of her life. Her family and friends are everything. I feel invisible.
I thought my husband's love would be enough to help him get over my affairs. Why can't he just forgive and forget? What does he think he is? Perfect? He's so selfish.
How many lose themselves in a romantic relationship, feeling unimportant, taken for granted? Or perhaps they lie or cheat and think their partner should forgive and forget? I am Dr. Ellen Kenner, clinical psychologist and co-author with Dr. Edwin Locke of the romance guidebook, The Selfish Path to Romance. Provocative title? I know. By selfish, we mean the self-valuing, self-nurturing way to romance. You never want to lose yourself in a relationship. You want to create a win-win partnership to value your own and each other's goals and dreams. Discovering how to be true to yourself in a romantic partnership is learnable and key to romantic happiness. Check out our book with its daring title, The Selfish Path to Romance, at Amazon or selfishromance.com.